Late Night Football Show with myself, Henry, Joe and Byron.
So this week we're doing it a bit differently. We are recording Sunday just after Man United West Brom game has occurred. But let's just go over our predictions so far. So Henry, what have you got so far?
Yeah, I've had an okay week. Not set the world on fire, but I've had three correct scores. Still obviously two games to play and I've gone for a Liverpool win and an Everton win. So hopefully end up with another 5 out of 10.
I'm slightly doing a little bit better here with four results correct, but however, I did take a punt on Bournemouth drawing with Liverpool in about an hour or so, so obviously that may not come in, but I think it's a solid attempt for the weekend. I'm happy with it.
So I've got five correct and two results bang on as well, that being the Brighton-Burnley 0-0 and the West Brom-Man United 2-1, which has just occurred.
Yeah.
But I have put Liverpool to draw with Bournemouth and Everton to beat Swansea.
I think you can take that if anyone wants to put some bets on, listen to Joe.
So let's move on to the games for next weekend. Arsenal-Liverpool kicking it off. I'm going to talk about transfers in this one. Arsenal looking into signing another defender. They're looking at Virgil van Dijk. Is a defender a priority signing for Arsenal?
Massively, massively. Arsenal, as I highlighted last week, conceded the most goals in the first 15 minutes of any other team in the Premier League. We're losing more games than we're winning by having a poor defence. Yes, we got a clean sheet against Newcastle, but with no disrespect to Newcastle, they are struggling at the moment. So... yeah, I think a defender is absolutely needed. I think we've got a nice balance in midfield. A defender is not needed. We need a leader.
I think, yeah, especially around the money, defender is absolutely needed, especially the centre-back role, because full-backs, Arsenal were fine for, but at the moment they're having to play the likes of Rob Holding, Monreal at centre-back in a back three, which obviously they're not centre-backs. They don't fit that profile. Someone like a Van Dijk would be a perfect fit, but obviously Liverpool are sniffing around him as well, so there'd be a competition for him.
Yeah, that was another one I was going to point on to. Liverpool are also looking for Van Dijk. If a player has an option to go to either of these clubs, which one do you think he'll choose?
I think that's really difficult. It depends on the player and what he prioritises. You've got Wenger with all of his experience. He knows what he's going to get when playing against Wenger. But Klopp at Liverpool as well. That would be an exciting plan for Klopp as well. So see how they, up to the player.
I'd say in this situation, I'd go with like the run of history, which is obviously Liverpool just rinsing all Southampton's good players over the years. Like they've taken more Klein, Redmond, they've taken a lot of them, so I'd say Liverpool will probably get the signing because they've been linked with him for a long time now. He's really been a top target for him.
But before Liverpool were doing all that, Arsenal were doing it first. Walcott, Chamberlain, so you know.
Yeah, I definitely think that it all depends on money, I think, more than anything as well. And obviously, depending on these two teams, obviously so close to each other in the league, it's more going to be down to that paycheck at the end of the day. Looking at Liverpool, as of right now, 34 goals scored. As we've already mentioned, they still yet to play Bournemouth. Do Liverpool need another signing in January?
Yeah, I think Liverpool, like we've already touched on, it is a defender. And I don't really want to reiterate what we've gone about, but that's definitely what they're looking for, in my eyes.
Yep. So, what about scores of this one then, guys?
So, I think it's going to be quite an open game. Arsenal had 326 shots. That's second best in the league. Liverpool currently 299, obviously, with one game to go. Fourth best in the league. The attacking-wise for both these teams is their strength. So I'm going 2-1 Arsenal win, backing the guys at home.
I'm seeing a 1-1 here, sort of both teams seem evenly matched, going to share the spoils in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a 1-1 as well. I think it's going to be an open game, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals. So moving on to Everton-Chelsea. Byron, what's your thoughts on this one?
So obviously a month ago, this would have been like a relegation scrap for Everton is trying to get some points. However, they've won four of their last five games. Obviously great run of form since bringing in Sam Allardyce. Are they actually odds on to get something from this game now, would you guys say?
Yeah, I think Sam Allardyce set out to make his team more defensively sound. He's done that. They're still obviously yet to play Swansea this weekend, see how they get in that game. I think this is going to be a bit like a fixture a couple of years ago where Everton were the team that would challenge the guys in the top four. So, yeah, I think they could nick something from this game.
I think it's going to be tough for Everton. Obviously, they've had a great run of form, but Chelsea is another beast entirely. And like when you're looking at Chelsea and Man City specifically, you can always see them breaking down these teams. Having said that, Chelsea did lose away to West Ham, and West Ham are in the same sort of form as this, so Everton could get something from this.
Now, to run the form here of transfer talk, obviously David Luiz hasn't played since October. Obviously, there's rumours he had a bust over Conte. They're saying it's a knee injury. Being between, obviously, since he's been missing, they've only never conceded more than one goal a game since October. Is he going to be another one we see leaving to go play for another club?
Well, I always see David Luiz as more of a defensive midfielder than a centre-back. Mm. You never see him as one of those traditional centre-backs who would hold a line. He'd always want to attack. So, and I just don't see that fitting him to the Chelsea side. I don't think they need him necessarily. If they sell him or not is another question, because obviously he did sell him before and brought him back. So it was always a bit of a... Is it worth a sale or not? If you're not playing, then yeah.
I think he works well in the back three. Like you say, he is more of a defensive... Obviously, if they're playing a back four, he doesn't work with one centre back. I think a back three showed the year they they retained the title that he was best defender in the league that year in a back three. But
I think a team like Arsenal or Liverpool would love to have someone like David Luiz come into their squad. Lots of experience, natural winner, was long obviously won titles with Chelsea, and he said brings a lot going forward. I think one of those guys would like that.
But I'd say again that Chelsea would definitely not want to salve that David Luiz. If they do want to sell David Luiz, they're not going to go to a Liverpool or an Arsenal.
What about Matic to United? Done one totally this season.
Shouldn't for their mistakes though, shouldn't they, really? But saying the other person obviously to look out for is obviously Rooney. He's had a lot of good performances against the top teams for Everton. Is he going to inspire sort of a little spark for Everton in this game?
I think it's going to be difficult. Rooney has had a bit of free reign in the last few games he's been playing, but that's because Everton have been able to retain a lot more possession. Against Chelsea, that's going to be a lot more isolated for Rooney. So I can see him definitely being a main catalyst for the Everton side, but not as much as in the previous games.
I think the one advantage you have with Rooney on the pitch, though, he's got that quality. He only needs to have the ball 40, 30 yards out instead of danger. So, yeah, he's going to be a player that Chelsea need to watch, but they know all about him from his playing days in United.
Absolutely. So predictions for this game. I'm personally seeing another draw, another 1-1 draw here to start the weekend off. Sort of nothing too jazzy.
I think Chelsea are going to take this one. I think it's going to be 2-1.
I think it's going to be a great game, and I'm going for a 2-2 draw. I think that'd be a good result.
So Brighton-Watford. Henry, what's your thoughts on this one?
So a couple of weeks ago, I did mention this could be a great Christmas for Watford. I think you highlighted if they lost all five, they'd be in trouble. And it is turning into a bit of a nightmare. They've lost their last three, conceded 33 goals, second most in the league. Are they being pulled into a relegation battle?
I think that there's always that trouble. But I know it's about 3 points, for, maybe, no, 7 points ahead of Newcastle as of right now. I think it's tricky for Watford because they've got so many teams below them. And as you said, their form isn't great, but we've still got all that padding below them where there's different teams on different forms. And there's quite a few teams still which aren't on a good form. So I can see Watford staying out of that.
Obviously, all this season, you've been hammering home about the risk-reward. And people now obviously become aware that Watford aren't afraid to drop. Obviously, you're going to go for these big teams. Now everyone's watching out for these counterattacks. Now they've figured out they've got their number and it's now hitting them and they're losing all these games.
I think Watford are getting tired as well. I think that they can play this high attacking football, but it's weighing them out. And when they get injuries or suspensions that they've got now, then it's going to change completely.
Especially in this run up towards the new year, because obviously everyone's playing two games a week. It's that fatigue's really kicking in, isn't it?
You can see that, and I think that's why their frustrations with so many suspensions, they're giving away unnecessarily cards, and at this point of the season, you don't want to be doing that. Moving on to Brighton, though, they're doing okay in the middle of the table where you think they'd be. But who do you look out for in that Brighton squad as a key player in this game?
In this game specifically, I rate Shane Duffy quite a lot. I think that Watford are still going to try and attack, and it's up to Brighton to defend against this onslaught. Maybe not an onslaught of the previous Watford away form, but I definitely see Shane Duffy as a leader in that team.
Duffy is definitely the big one. Obviously, the other one who's been playing amazing this year is obviously Pascal Gross. He's been the one who's been running everything for them. He's sort of leading the front line. Duffy's been sort of holding the back. He's a combination of the two, really trying to sort of work out between the two of them, isn't it now?
So last time these two met at the start of the season, they finished 0-0. Do we see anything different for this kind of this result this time round?
I think it's going to be the same sort of game. I think it's going to be a very shutout game. I do think that there will be a bit more chances. I think both teams at this stage would want to try and get some 3 points, whereas at the start they're still quite comfortable in a draw.
I do see a board draw. Obviously they got the board draw against Burnley just gone, which was a great result against Burnley, so I can see him keeping another clean sheet here in this one.
So you went for 0-0 this weekend. I'm also going for a 0-0 draw in this game. Joe?
I'm going to go for 1-0 Brighton. I think they can nick a goal against this weakened Watford side.
Moving on to Manchester City versus Bournemouth, will they continue their unreal run of form?
Yeah, so obviously City had an emphatic win over Tottenham. Sadio's gone, obviously put four passes, very painful. Surely this is the title wrapped up right now. The big one I'm looking at is, are we going to be seeing another undefeated season?
I think potentially yes. I still don't think defensively they're sound, but it doesn't matter. They've won 17 of 18 games. I mean, that is something else.
I think it all depends on which of the big clubs and what their signings are in January. But Manchester City, in every single game I've seen them play, they've been shaking parts, but they've always seemed to come out with a result. So in terms of getting an invincible, there's still half a season left, but if there was a season as of recent that would happen, I think it'd be this one.
Also, the big point obviously with City doing so well is they're getting these results against different styles of play. Tottenham went out on Saturday and attacked them. They tried to play, obviously everyone else is trying to sit back, counter-attack, expose the defence they've got, but obviously Tottenham tried going out and then they got rolled over again. It's just there seems to be no stopping this front six of City like we've been going on for weeks now. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I think what you've got to set up to is to congest that midfield. You don't want to be defending too deep because they've got so much ability, they will break it down. You've got to be pressing high in the middle of the park, but that's tiring, and against a team of that quality, very difficult to do.
If City were to pick up some injuries, is that going to be too much of a problem for them, or do you think that'll be...
I don't think so. You look this weekend, David Silva was rested, but it didn't really matter because Gundogan got a goal and assist. So like replacements, you've got Aguero and Jesus.
Yaya isn't even getting time really. He's just sat there waiting for his chance. But to be fair, like we say, like about obviously the defence is bad enough it is with their injuries. But even if they say lost even a couple more there, they score too many goals to just. I think they could honestly play like little Sané right back, and they just. I honestly don't think it would make any difference to their results. They're unbelievable right now. I mean. And then obviously on the other, obviously City high flying right now, Bournemouth who they're playing, do they need to be worried about relegation? Because they're not that far off the drop right now.
Yeah, 1 point actually, and it's quite interesting. I highlighted that Stoke are joint points from them, both on 16. Stoke been talked about quite a lot because they've been saying, "Oh, it's worrying for Stoke. Why are they down here?" But Bournemouth have been sort of under the radar at this, and they are only 1 point, as I said, above for relegation. I do think that Bournemouth are in trouble.
I think if you're the board though, going to the manager at the start of the season, I think. Realistically, you're saying just keep us in the Premier League. So where they are at the moment isn't really a surprise. I think that's kind of what they're playing for.
You're on a hard team to obviously attract new talent too, because it's been on the South Coast, a very tiny stadium. I think it's only around 15,000 capacity. It's not that big of a stadium. Obviously, it's hard to draw in those big names down to this type of club, isn't it? So they've got to do well with what they've got. Obviously, getting Defoe was a great sign. He's been doing well for him this year. Is the experience.
Yeah, I think one thing with Bournemouth is, yes, they are down here at the bottom, but they get their points in spells. They're not like in this massively bad run of form.
Yeah.
They're not in a massively great run of form. They just get consistently, say every five games, you might get a win or a draw or something like that. But it determines on if it's for teams below them, do start picking up the form, because the three of the four teams below them, not counting West Ham, are on a bit of dodgy form. They start picking up some wins, and then you see Bournemouth get drawn into this relegation battle or in the relegation points, and that's when you can see them getting a bit worried.
Yeah, so looking forward to like sort of seeing this matchup. I personally see City getting a 3-0 win here. I think now that they've got through that Tottenham spell, the run up to Christmas is just so favourable for them. I think they're really just going to go on an absolute tear right now.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. I think it's going to be 3-0 as well.
I've just gone for one more than you guys. I've gone for 4-0 City, but again, not seeing Bournemouth grabbing a goal.
So Southampton, Huddersfield, Henry, what's your thoughts on this one?
So yeah, great fixture. Huddersfield, next five games, including this one, against Southampton, Stoke, Burnley, Leicester, West Ham. Could this next five games define their season?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Because you look at Burnley, Leicester, West Ham, those, maybe they're not the strongest clubs, they're not like the Chelsea, Man United, but those are three clubs which are doing really well right now. So in terms of defining their season, I think every five games which they see after the last one will define their season. It can't just think of just five games. It's got to be a whole season perspective.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. You've got to sort of take it in chunks, haven't you, with these sort of teams. They've got to say, look at these four games. If we walk away with, say, 3 points in this, that's going to keep us up over the season. It's got to be the big goals. And think long-term when you're in these sort of positions.
But obviously, saying that as well, you do need, like, if you're looking at the Stoke game, since you don't want to lose that game, you do want to come out and get a result from that. As I said, 4-0 yesterday, so it's a big thing.
So Southampton are without winning five. What do they need to do to break that record this weekend?
I think that for Southampton, it's just trying to play as a collective team, trying to keep it as a unit. They're very sporadic quite a lot of times. They seem to push up and leave gaps between their defence and midfield. And I think as soon as they get like position and formation playing and start playing the passing football, that's when they can see results.
I like how you touched on their midfield. And for me, who is their standout midfielder, or have they even got one?
This is the point I wanted to make. I think their standout midfield is Nathan Redmond, who doesn't play for him. I think he's the player who can really create him for that. So he's like the Wilfred Zaha of the Palace. He's the one who really stands out, but he never seems to start. And obviously, to echo what you were saying last episode about Bournemouth just sort of being a... Southampton being just sort of a bland
team, yeah.
there's not really much about them down there. Like, it's a hard one. They've really got to start trying to get some flair into this team, get some going.
It's interesting you highlight Redmond. So he's had the most assists despite his playtime with three. For me, I think Tadic is their main man. Two goals, two assists. He's something I can see that can create a lot for them.
Yeah, well, I see both of them as good players, but what you touched on a couple of episodes back, Byron, was that defenders for Southampton have the more passes.
Yeah.
So even though Tadic and Redmond are the key players in midfield, it seems that they're not doing that much compared to what the defence is doing, and sort of it's isolating the attack up front.
Absolutely, and that causes issues if they're not getting the service from the midfield, and I think that's where Southampton need to strengthen in January. With that all being said, what do we think the results will be this weekend?
I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I think I can see goals in this one, but I think it's going to be share of points.
Personally, I see a sort of I see him sharing this one 1-1. Personally,
I give again agree with you too. I think it's going to be a draw. I'm going for 1-1. I think that'll be a much needed point for Southampton.
So moving on to Stoke West Brom. Are West Brom improving? Obviously, just the Man United game just happened there. They did have some chances in that one. Do you see a better West Brom side now than?
They haven't had that. So obviously, they've changed their manager. They haven't had that massive increase in form that you would like to have seen, but. If you take the last five fixtures, obviously they've just lost to United, but they've had four draws previously to that, and that's not—it's not wins, and that's where they need—they need a win, is what they desperately need.
Yeah, definitely. I do think that, a win is a massive thing for West Brom. But as you said, if you look at it another way, it is just one loss in these last five games before this United one. Obviously, I mean, in playing in the United game, I do see them attacking. I did see them. I think we checked; it was they had more shots than Man United.
Yeah, they definitely pushed forward in the last.
So it's definitely, I do like that sort of. Play from West Brom, they are getting attacked. It's not like they're just sitting back the whole game. It's not like they're not out of these games.
Is this sort of where maybe United have given City this hope? Because obviously at the start of the year, they were playing really great attacking football. Now that they're sort of, you know, the Mourinho park in the bus, they're now inviting all these teams to say, like, come have a go at us. It's not the message. When you're a top-tier club, you need these teams to be afraid of you. They won't want to come into your half because you're going to punish them.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I think that kind of plays into West Brom's favour. It gives them a chance to build some confidence going forward. Yes, they've taken a defeat today, but were they realistically going to get a result against United? Probably not. And if they've had the opportunity to go forward, press, create opportunities, I think that's only benefit for the team, gets the strikers some confidence.
Definitely, I think they'll look at that as a positive, because it could have been a 2-2, or it could have, you definitely saw West Brom having some chances. But let's talk about Stoke. 18 goals at home, that's the second worst record. Where are Stoke lacking in their squad?
I don't really know what's going on at the moment. I think it is time for the manager to go. I think the players have lost interest for him. I think there is enough talent in that squad to play some good football. I think it's very similar to what happened at Everton. Really good bunch of players, just lost faith in the dressing room.
Or even West Ham and Crystal Palace have both improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the main problem is that the best players in that team aren't clicking at the same time. Like, Choupo Moting went for a spell where he was playing really well, but no one else really was. Mm. Then Crouch stepped up. But they need to try and find a 3-4 game period where two or three are going to step up and really help them drive results as a team. Because right now it's just a few individuals having a good week or having a good game.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that as well. I think that there's not a team. It's not a team
philosophy
players.
Right,
yeah,
there.
It's they're all individually playing for themselves really, and that's where they're going wrong. So, who's the more likely to take a result from this game?
For me, West Brom. I think obviously they've had quite a few draws. They seem to be in better form. Stoke are leaking goals, 39 conceded. So
yeah,
that's what I'm going for.
What about physicality in these two teams? Who's the more physical of these teams?
Years ago, you'd have said Stoke, but I don't really know.
Well, I think it's shifted to West Brom, I'd say. They've got a lot, obviously, they've got the likes of Rondon, Gareth Barry's, Jakob. There's a lot of big lads in there. Obviously, Johnny Evans throws himself about. He gets about. It's a good sort of solid team. West Brom really is. They're sort of taking the role over from Stoke, aren't they, of being sort of the big boys in the league.
Well, I always argue that West Brom have always been that physical side. Do you think that works to their advantage as well, though?
I think you need something when you're down at like that, playing in that like kind of level. You kind of need something about you, and you make it harder for the teams that want to play the nice, intricate football. You need that physicality.
So do you think that's where Stoke have gone wrong then?
Yeah, because they're in the middle of kind of that transition of wanting to play nice football with the likes of Shaqiri, Chepa, Monting, but haven't maintained that physicality, and now the teams are now being able to play and pass around them.
Yeah, and well, be fair, like saying about this, Kieran Gibbs is sort of an interesting fit for West Brom, isn't he? Because he's sort of the player who doesn't fit that identity. He's obviously ex-Arsenal, obviously who play a lot more attractive football. Like, do we see that still as a good sign for West Brom, that he's maybe like a bit different from the rest of the back line?
I think when you're bringing in someone like Kieran Gibbs, you're bringing in that experience and something for all the youngsters to learn on. And I still can't believe how cheap they got him for, like 8 million, 7 million.
Mm.
That's a great buy. Great buy.
Yeah, I think West Brom need a good winger, and they need pace in their wings, because, as I said, if they're a physical side and they win these headers, and if you get as much cross in the boxes, and you get like feeding for Rondon, stuff like that. Mm. So what about predictions for this one, guys?
So I'm going for a West Brom win. I'm going for a 2-0 win. Stoke leaking more goals.
Yeah, I'm seeing a 1-0 West Brom here. I feel they're going to get steal the away goal.
I think we've all gone for a West Brom win, surprisingly, away from home. I've gone 3-2 to West Brom.
That happens 3-2, it'll be unreal. What the odds are on that?
So moving on to West Ham Newcastle. Byron, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so this is mainly just a massive relegation six-pointer right here. Obviously, both West Ham are picking up form, but neither are still having the season they want to have. Obviously, if Newcastle lose this game, how worried do they, like, do they seriously need to be worried about going down? Because obviously this is the game you need to be picking points up in.
I think we're already worried about going down. We're now in the relegation points, and that's like a wake-up call for any team if you go down to this relegation points. In terms of winning this game, West Ham just beat Stoke 3-0.
Yeah.
Whereas Newcastle haven't won in, I believe, 9 or 10 games now.
1 point in eight, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's very, very difficult, but we need to get something. And I remember Rafa Benitez saying a couple of weeks back, 30 saying, but the results will come. But the longer it takes for these results to come, the more and more the players are worried and the fans are worried.
I'm kind of concerned that Newcastle are waiting for January as well. I think there's a lot of games between now and like the 1st of Jan, and then you've still obviously got to sign all these players. I think they're waiting and waiting, and it might be too late by the time it gets
around.
It's
a good 3 or 4 games, and that's a good, well, 12 points potentially. Obviously, well, double-digit points with the way the league's set up, between the gap between the 7th to sort of relegation, that could be a good 5-6 places you're jumping up or down. So it's very, very risky tactic trying to just survive until this January.
I think Newcastle in the place of West Ham were at the start of the season. They don't know what they want to play. They don't know what style of play they want to do, because they don't have a team to play defensively. They don't have a team to just go out on an attack in like a Watford away from home sort of thing. Whereas what David Moyes has done at West Ham is he's solidified that defence and then built from there. Whereas Newcastle just don't really have that ability in their squad.
Yeah, it's a complete mix of players. Like obviously with Newcastle, you've got some players who've obviously ex-Bournemouth with Matt Ritchie, and then you've got like got Shelby. You've got a lot of players who've been, and then as offset by like the Mitrovic's. It's a very mix and match squad right now for you guys.
Yeah, I just also echo that we still haven't found our main striker as well. We Hosolu, Perez, Mitrovic, but they're all playing or they're all starting in different games, but none of them seem to make an impact in the game. Maybe that's because Shelby hasn't been making the same impact he did at the start of the season. Maybe he doesn't get the distribution, but there's something definitely to look at in there.
Yeah, obviously, right now, Newcastle are the joint worst away team in the league. Is obviously that's something they need to be changing to staying up. What do they need to change in your eyes as a Newcastle fan, Joe?
It's disappointing, really. I think the reason what Newcastle are doing is they seem to lack concentration quite a lot. They have really good spouts. For instance, I remember going back to Man United in the Chelsea games where we take the league lead. First 30 minutes of the game, great. Then suddenly something goes the wrong way and you sort of collapse. There's no mentality in that team. There's no one saying, come on, let's build ourselves back up.
Would you put that down to maybe not having the experience in the Prem? Is it sort of growing pains right now for a lot of these players?
I don't know, you've got experience in that team, as you mentioned. Shelby, I think Richard was maybe in the Prem for Bournemouth at that point. And I just don't think that there's any player who's taking responsibility for anything.
Yeah, I'd agree with that completely, watching their performances. But it's interesting you highlight their away record. I think they need to sort out their home record first. Mm-hmm. I think if they can make St James's Park a fortress again and make it difficult for teams to beat them there, that's what will keep them up. If they can grab a few points away from home now to the end of the season, fantastic. That's a bonus, but they've got to solidify their home games.
Right, moving on to predictions for this week, for this game. I just don't see Newcastle doing very well at all. I'm seeing a 3-0 West Ham with their run of form.
I think that's bold 3-0. I still can't see Newcastle winning. I'm going 1-0 West Ham.
I'm hoping, and I'm going to see. I'm going to say it's going to be a 0-0. It's going to be a board draw. Yeah.
So moving on to what we've highlighted as the game of the weekend is Swansea versus Crystal Palace. Byron, you want to take the lead on this one?
Yeah, so obviously absolutely huge in. Massive, massive. Another relegation 6-pointer back-to-back here. So, yeah, both teams, if they can get the win here, it's going to really sort of sort them out, staying up. Obviously, Swansea, a little bit of a same as West Ham, starting to pick up a bit of form. They need that little bit better. Paris right now are flying, so they're doing very, very well. They should be favourites for this game, if anyone's anything.
Yeah, I'd even highlight that, is this even a relegation battle anymore? Palace seem to be on a different level now. What's it, 7 unbeaten?
Yeah.
Where can Palace's form take them?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think they'll be aiming for the mid-table. It is very close. There is a gap now starting to divide them between like 8th and below. So they've got to climb 9 points to even catch that. That's a significant amount. I still think it is a relegation battle. They're not clear yet. They don't want to get complacent. They need to keep building on this confidence. 3-0 away win, and then it's another away fixture. If they can grab some more points away from home, just keep building that confidence.
I think you're right about them not getting complacent, because obviously right now, yes, they're on a great run of form, but obviously they're still in that sort of new period with the new manager. Once obviously teams start seeing the setup they're having under Hodgson, start to try and figure out, like, obviously we mentioned with Watford, they started off great, people figure them out. Are we going to see the same thing, and then maybe they might start dropping down a bit, and then worrying about relegation again? So it's still early phases. Like, Paris are looking favourites to stay up, I definitely agree with that, but I think they can't get too ahead of themselves just yet. Maybe give it till sort of February time, then we'll really know for sure.
I think that Palace do have some really good players on their side. Like, but I think that these players are in form right now, yeah, as well.
Absolutely.
So if they do drop in form, what do you think? Saka, Zaha's, other two ones I point out.
Benteke was great the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
If all these players, all these players are doing what Stoke aren't doing right now, and they're all clicking at the same time.
Yeah.
If this carries on, then yeah, great. I think they can try and aim for this mid-table. But if it does sort of filter off, maybe you get an injury. I mean, if Zaha gets injured, for instance,
yeah,
then you're right back into this battle. Swansea, on the other hand, obviously they haven't played Everton yet. If they get a result against Everton, maybe a draw or a win, does that impact how they go into this game?
Yeah, I think it does. If they get a result, great. That gives them a little bit more confidence to build on. If not, it just makes this game even more important to them, because they're starting to lose ground. Only 9 goals scored still, and that's my concern. You're Bonnie's biggest fan over here. He's got to do something.
But yeah, like you say, like, there is going to be a worry, obviously, depending on how the game goes tomorrow. Obviously, if they do lose that against the high-flying Everton, they're really going to be needing the points here, because they've, performance-wise, I think Swansea have definitely picked it up a lot, but obviously the fact that the teams who were down in the bottom with them and now picking up this run of form, you've got to start making this run of form at some point, otherwise you are, and don't leave it too late or you will go down.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with you. But the problem for Swansea is, as manager, do you set up to try and keep a clean sheet, or do you set up to try and get an attack and try and get a win in the game? It's always a bit of a balance there.
It's a balance. I think you've got to look at what Everton have done, what West Ham have done, what Palace have done to some extent. They've solidified their back, and now they've been able to go on and push forward and grab some goals. And that's, you've got to stop. Swansea aren't leaking masses of goals. They've only conceded 22, which isn't horrific. I think Swansea have to focus on going forward.
It will be interesting to see the mentality, because Swansea are the worst home team in the league and Palace are the joint worst away team with Newcastle in the league. So obviously, it's really...
I like how you mentioned that as well.
I got it for it. But obviously, so really, both teams should be looking at the chart. They're playing the worst in
their
respective
leagues,
so they've got
yeah.
to think, like, this is really the chance to get these 3 points. So we could be seeing a goal fest, could be seeing a sort of grind out draw. It's really hard this
I point. Think it is interesting what you mentioned there. Both teams I want to see just go for it, because I think this is a 6-point game, and when they're both on that kind of run of form at home and away, it's an open game.
See, I'd argue that yeah, they should do, but I think they're both going to be nervous going into this one. Only Palace in a good form, but as soon as they get a bit of scare against Swansea, maybe Swansea is like trying to shut them out, then you can see that there's going to be like a very, very tight game in this. What about predictions of this one then, guys?
So I see Palace overpowering Swansea, especially the way they played this weekend, so I'm going for 2-0 Palace win.
I'm going for a bit of a punny with a 2-2 draw. I think Palace's run of form will be offset by Swansea playing at home, personally.
Is Bonnie going to get those 2 goals?
Yeah, has Swansea even scored 2 in a game yet?
he'll get all 4, mate. That's what he'll get 2 for Palace as well.
I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw. You know, I love a good 0-0 draw. I've got 2 right now, so. Okay, Burnley Spurs. What do you think about this one, Henry?
So, we always ran around about Burnley. I just want to list off some facts here. So, they've had 99 blocks. That's the league's best. 587 clearances, second best in the league. 60 saves by the keeper, so that's fourth best. Yeah, they've only had 260 tackles, and that's 18th in the league.
Oh, that's a worry.
But this, to me, shows great discipline at the back. Who do you think is like leading that when they're on the field, maintaining that they're not diving in and keeping that?
But then again, Benmi has, was he injured or has he just came back
yep.
as well? I think that all of their defence steps up as well. I'd love to hear the communication between Nick Pope and the defence. That'd be great if you could have like a camera and like a recording behind the goal just to listen to it. Because I'd definitely say that Benmi, obviously being captain in that back four, is definitely the leader of a back three for North Burnley play.
It's been that trio of me, Warden, Tarski. They've just, between them, they've been outstanding for Burnley this year, and obviously credit that they're pushing for this top four right now. It's been an absolute fortress at home.
But can I say, it's not just the defence of Burnley.
Yeah.
Every single player in that team, because it's more like a 10-man defence
yeah.
in a squad. So the midfield as well have done a great job in not allowing any balls through.
Absolutely. With them not diving in though, that makes them difficult to break down. Spurs, do you think they're too alive along the likes of Kane and Eriksen? Other than those, only 5 other players have bagged a goal. And
I think the main problem with Tottenham right now is, the obviously I've over the week has been highlighting missing Toby Alderweireld, but I think the massive miss as well is Wanyama, because what you've just said about Eriksen and Kane, obviously last year when they were healthy, Ali, Eriksen, Kane, that trio have had absolute free room up front because they've had Wanyama, Dembele sat behind them to obviously clean up the mess. Now you've got no one cleaning up that mess. It's worrying right now. It really is. And I'd like to highlight as well, as a Tottenham fan, Eric Dyer really needs to step up because he's just not been good enough. And that's the play. Obviously, with all our best centre backs out right now, he's the one who really does need to step up to his price tag, because United were rumoured to be offering 50 million in the summer, didn't take that. So he's got to sort of show why we didn't sell him.
So going back to the tackles with Burnley, but not having that many tackles, you don't create that much fouls. And I think for Tottenham in this sort of game, they're looking for like a free kick. They're looking for some sort of set piece to break down Burnley. And if that's not happening, then I don't see Tottenham getting through.
I think Tottenham are the team with the most crosses in the box at the moment in the Premier League. So yeah, exactly, looking for that.
Tottenham obviously run it all through our fullbacks. Obviously Trippier, Aurier's, obviously Ben Davies, all terrific ball-playing fullbacks. Obviously that's where the crossing comes into it. And obviously with obviously the set pieces, Eriksen's obviously a phenomenal set piece taker, so obviously that's the chance to get the goal.
Before we move on, I just want to highlight Lloriente. 10 appearances this year, 0 goals. Will Spurs try to replace him in January?
It'd be another typical Spurs buy a striker every year, wouldn't it? I personally think stick out with him, because he has been proven. Obviously when we bought Janssen the year before, he wasn't proven in the Prem, didn't work out. Obviously with Llorente, he's done well at Swansea before. I think he's just not getting game time, which he needs to get.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Burnley's home record. I thought it was quite interesting. They've scored the second lowest goals at home, but they've only lost two of those games. 7 goals at home, 3 goals conceded. An absolutely incredible stat there.
And this is what I was, when I was talking about Newcastle, and you think St James's Park, a fortress. Burnley have done that at
Turf Moor. Is definitely a fortress.
So what are we saying this weekend for scores then?
I think that Burnley are going to get another draw here at Turf Moor, and I think Tottenham are also going to score. I think it's going to be 1-1.
As much as I did want to sort of go with the flow and say a draw, I'm going to back the boys to steal a 1-0 win at the Fortress.
Yeah, I saw you change your score.
I did. I've changed it midway through it. I've got to back.
That's because I backed Arsenal and Joe kind of favoured Newcastle.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
I kind
of favoured. You've got to rep the guys. You've got to rep the boys.
So I'm going similar to Joe, 1-1 draw.
Right, so Leicester Man U, last game, and I think it's like a 7:45 kickoff.
Yeah, bizarre kickoff, Saturday night.
Is that going to affect any of these teams, do you think?
I shouldn't do. They're professionals at the end of the day, and they play midweek at 7:45. I just think, what does it affect the fans more? So that's a late kickoff on a Saturday. Normally, when you go for a football match at 3 o'clock, you'll go out, you'll have a few drinks beforehand, watch the game, go out and have a few drinks afterwards. But 7:45 is right in the middle.
Well, this one, you'll go out, have a lot of drinks beforehand. Depending on what the result is, go out and have a lot of drinks afterwards.
Yeah,
as well.
You won't be paying much in the stadiums. Obviously, prices these days is crazy mad.
Are Man U a side which suits Leicester's playstyle?
Yeah, I think so. If Leicester look burnt out at the weekend, so they've got a week to recover. United like to park the bus and just play defensive. I think Leicester can hit them on the counter-attack, and I would be concerned.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of Leicester's squad, who is the main starter after Okazaki and Gray? Obviously, you've had different people rested. They said they rested Gray for midweek, and they rested Okazaki after he scored 2 goals, or yeah, 2 goals and an assist in the weekday for Gray. So, who do you think would start this game?
I favour Okazaki. I think he gives more. I think he works tirelessly. I would love to see the stats in comparison about how far he runs compared to Gray. I think he has a better chemistry with the likes of Vardy and Mahrez as well. That's who I'd start.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Pat. I think he's his work rate, isn't it? And I always think form over sort of experience or who should be in the 11. If you're the one that's rolling right now, you should be the one in the starting 11. And he's really been proving himself the last couple of games he started.
Well, I think from Okazaki's point of view as well, he's worked with Vardy for longer as well, and I think that they do have that just natural chemistry. But then let's not count out Gray. I think both these two players could work in the same starting lineup. Gray is a great playmaker and chance creator as well as goal scorer, so I it's very difficult to choose.
I think what it does do though is just highlight that competition in the squad and keeps all players fresh, and he's probably done that just trying to get the most out of those guys.
With the competition you're saying, obviously with United obviously being a very well-oiled machine in the back, obviously all three of them are going to get plenty of game time in that game, so you want to keep the constant pressure on. Once one gets a little tired, just bring in the fresh phase, keep the pressure on United's back line.
Yeah, definitely. Well, just highlighting what you said, Henry, but Puel said that it's a constant headache, and I think that's what you'd like as a manager,
to
have that different change in your squad. But moving on to Man United, this is the best start from Man United since Alex Ferguson's last season, when obviously he won the title. Are Man United underperforming?
No, I don't think they're underperforming. It's just City have just completely ran away with the league, and it distracts them that, well, they are 18 games, 41 points. That's a pretty good tally. I don't think they're underperforming. I think they let teams come onto them too much. I think you highlighted it earlier when we were talking about West Brom, like going forward, they don't play the kind of free-flowing, exciting football that City are playing, that Liverpool play, even Arsenal to some extent are playing going forward. And that's why they're not getting as much press.
I think you've hit it right in the head. They're not underperforming. They say, we're just coming to halfway the season, 41 points in a goal difference of 27. So if you keep that form and double it, 82 points in a plus 50 goal difference, that's a great season. It's just City have been absolutely unreal this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think you said to me, to us before this start, wasn't it, 42 points for Arsenal's invincible season and 44 for Chelsea's record-breaking season. And Man United in second place with 41 points. So they're definitely not underperforming. It's just... Man City have just stepped up, and it's just unfortunate for Man United.
Do we think United maybe need to go back to the way they were playing at the start of the year? Because obviously you look at the sort of the decline of Mkhitaryan this season. He started off with, what was it, 5 assists, 5 goals, something ridiculous start. And he's, I think he's even scored in the last 13 games because they've gone to this sort of defensive counter-attack approach. They need to go back to the way they started.
I think that for Man United, when one player falters, another player steps up in that squad. I think that obviously with Mkhitaryan out of form, in a team where they're reliant on a player like that, and then you can see results drop. But Man United haven't dropped results. We've just been talking about 41 points. Obviously, the style of play that they're playing now isn't as attacking as they were, but they're definitely trying to keep those results, and I still think that's a good thing for them. So what scores for this one, guys?
I can't see Leicester winning this, so I'm going for a United 2-1 win.
I'm seeing United keeping the clean sheet, saying 2-0 on this one.
So I'm going back to the question I asked at the start with, does this game suit Leicester? I think it does, so I think it's going to be 1-1.
So there we go. That's our predictions for the next weekend's fixtures. Please let us know your thoughts. Give us a comment, like, subscribe. I've been Henry.
I've been Joe.
I've been Byron.
And we'll see you again next week.